We begin tonight the sacred Triduum, the most important 3 days of the year. On this holy night of Holy Thursday, Holy Mother Church instructs all priests what we are supposed to preach about. It's three things: the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the mandate to love. The Church has, of course, good reason for this instruction. It was on the first Holy Thursday, after all, during that first Holy Week, when Jesus celebrated the first Holy Mass. It was on that Thursday that he ordained his first priests, and it was on that Thursday that he commissioned them to go about the mission of love, the Eucharist. There are a lot of images of the Eucharist in our Christian tradition. There's wheat, a basket of loaves, a fish, or grapes. There's a lot of different images, but my favorite is the pelican. Oftentimes you'll see it on a tabernacle, or you'll see the image engraved in windows depicting the Holy Eucharist. It is said that when a mother pelican, when her baby chicks have nothing left to eat, she plucks out her own flesh and she gives it to her babies. She feeds them with herself. And like the Lord Jesus, she loves her own and she loves them to the end. A mother pelican, in order to feed her babies, will pluck out enough flesh that she herself dies. This is the Eucharist. It is about love. The Eucharist is Jesus loving us to the end, that we might have life, and not just life on earth, but life in heaven. If people understood the Eucharist, they would never walk away from the Catholic Church. If people truly understood the Eucharist, we would never have an open holy hour or an unfilled pew bench. The Eucharist is Jesus himself, and it is the miracle that we celebrate tonight, that Jesus, to the point of dying, loved you and me. Tonight we thank him for giving us himself in this most holy and most important of the sacraments, the priesthood. Because of Jesus' love, he instituted the priesthood. A man I know in Bloomington, where I grew up, St. Charles, he prays a rosary every day that every Christian might have a greater devotion to the priesthood. I think he is very wise. He is praying not for greater devotion to this priest or that priest, but to the priesthood. When I think about the priesthood, I of course think about the priests that I know. But I ultimately think about Jesus. I think about the way that these different priests have given me Jesus. I think about Father Ron Ashmore, who baptized me on February 6, 1986, when I was 2 months old. I think of Father Charlie Chesbrough, who heard my first confession and gave me my first Holy Communion when I was in the second grade, who always called me Big Mike and made me feel special. His presence was larger than life. He was the first one to tell me, "You should go to the seminary." I think of Father Don Davison, a precious blood priest who we lovingly called the Prince of Darkness. You had to know him to understand that title. His mind is a labyrinth, and his every homily took me deeper into the beauty of my Christ and his beautiful church. I think about Father Joe Moriarty, my spiritual director, who is the holiest man I know. His heart is as the closest thing to the Sacred Heart that I have ever found in a human being on earth. He heard my confession on Tuesday. I think about Father Mike Fritsch, who taught me the importance of good liturgy. I think about Monsignor Stumpf, who guided me into the seminary as my pastor, and still even now as the vicar general hasn't forgotten about me. I think about my friends who have made me a better priest, Father Rodriguez, Father Michael, Father Adam, Father Luke, Father Aaron. The list could go on. These men are Christ to me. They have heard my confessions. They have anointed me. They have blessed me. They have laid hands upon me, led me, nourished me, and strengthened me. They've given me counsel. They've confected the Eucharist for me countless times. They have given me Jesus, and they have been God's grace to me. I love them in all of their weakness and in their brokenness. Last week, less than a week ago, actually, I found a letter in a file cabinet in my office. I still haven't gone through it all. I was doing a little spring cleaning in the middle of the night. This letter was 3 pages long about how evil this person believed some of my predecessors here to be. It broke my spirit to read it. It made me angry first, and then it made me sad. I burned it. None of those priests were perfect. No one is. Some of them were good preachers, and some of them were horrible preachers. Some struggled with demons that we will never know. Some were friendly and some weren't. Some were liberal and some were conservative. Some of them think the way I do. Some of them don't. Some made decisions I like, some did not. But all of them are forever priests of Jesus Christ who bring souls to heaven and heaven to souls. All of them gave up their lives for Jesus and his church. How dare we ever speak ill of them? I thank God for each and every one of them. And I thank God that I am a priest. God has allowed me to stand under the fluorescent lights of hospital rooms in the middle of the night and guide souls to the kingdom and comfort those who watch their loved ones fade away. That he has allowed me to stand at his altar and bring to the world his body and blood every day. That he allows me the grace to sit in the confessional in order to listen to life's disappointments and failures, and absolve sins and loosen their chains. I thank God that he has allowed me the grace to stand at the door of the church and in his place open my arms wide to receive a soul for baptism and pour the waters of salvation onto beautiful babies' heads. I thank God that he allows me the grace to teach religion class and play basketball, instruct RCIA and lead youth group and visit the elderly and do all that in a day. The priesthood is not something I do, it's who I am. It defines me and I love it. And I have to tell you on this day that Jesus instituted the holy priesthood that I am thankful to be your priest. The third thing is the mandate of love. No greater love is there than this, says Jesus, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Our Protestant friends today call this Maundy Thursday because the word Maundy comes from the same Latin word as mandate, mandatum. Jesus gives us an incredible example of service in washing the feet of his apostles. We are to serve like he did, beyond what we're comfortable with. We are, like Christ, called to love others until the end, without condition without reservation. The Eucharist, the priesthood, and this mandate to love and to serve, those are the three reasons we are never alone. We are never alone because we always have the Eucharist. We are never alone because we always have our priest. We're never alone because we always have the call to serve and to love. Friends, this night is one of the most important nights of the whole year. Mass ends in a different way tonight. It ends with a procession to the side altar, to the altar of repose. Jesus will be in the tabernacle there until 11 o'clock p.m., which is about the hour that he was arrested the first Holy Thursday night after he had celebrated the Last Supper. Catholic churches around the world participate in this tradition of the altar of repose. And because, of course, after the Last Supper, Jesus invited his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him before his passion. And so after Holy Mass, everybody is invited to spend a little quiet time in front of that altar of repose. Please pray there for your priests. Pray for the ones you like and the ones you don't. Pray for me. Pray that God will give us many good holy priests. And thank God for the Eucharist. Help him to convict you more of his real presence in the most sacred Eucharist. And there at the altar of repose, pray that God will help you to understand where he is calling you to serve and how he is calling you to serve, and that he will give you the courage and the heart to do it. We leave the Mass tonight in a complete silence, and so I do ask that even in the narthex we refrain from talking, because we end this night in a very solemn way. And so the conversation can happen in the parking lot. En esta Santa Misa celebramos tres cosas muy importantes. Celebramos la Eucaristía, los sacerdotes y también el mandamiento de nuestro Cristo para servir en su manera. La Eucaristía, nosotros sabemos, es la cosa más importante para en la vida. Hace muchos años hoy, en la primer Jueves Santo, nuestro Cristo empezó la Santa Misa y la primera Santa Misa con sus primeros sacerdotes. Y Él nos dice, si quieres la vida, necesitas recibir la Eucaristía. La vida aquí en el mundo, pero también la vida en el mundo, la próxima mundo, en el cielo. Los sacerdotes, sabemos hoy, continúan la presencia de Cristo en el mundo. Y por eso celebramos que Dios es tan bueno que tenemos sacerdotes, que tenemos hombres que en amor quieren dar sus vidas, todos de sus vidas. Algunos son muy buenos, algunos no son muy buenos, pero todos son hijos de nuestro Cristo. Todos los sacerdotes pueden darnos la Santa Eucaristía, la cosa más importante es reconciliación, bautismo, todos los sacramentos, nuestros regalos muy tan buenos. Es verdad que nosotros sacerdotes no son perfectos, pero todavía Dios en su amor puede trabajar por nosotros. La tercera cosa es el mandamiento de nuestro Cristo para servir. Porque nosotros sabemos que en la primera Jueves Santo, Jesús, después de la última cena, tenía agua y llevó los pies de sus amigos. La parte del cuerpo más ugly. Entonces, saludamos hoy We celebrate today these three beautiful gifts, the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the mandate to love. We pray that Jesus will always keep us faithful to them all. En el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amen.